This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're going to be looking at a report by the Reporters Without Borders, which talks about the World Press Freedom Index. Malaysia, over the course of the last year, has dropped 18 places to number 119. It's also the largest drop for any country on the list. So we're going to be looking at what are some of the reasons this might have happened?
Yes, mainly the finger is being pointed at the recent anti-fake news law that was issued last month, which we covered in quite a lot of detail at the time. And it criminalizes fake news relating to COVID-19, or here's the rub, the proclamation of emergencies in the country. And that is the main thing, at least, that the report has looked at. However, if we look at where this is in the country as a whole, or rather in the world, how we compare. So the worst deterioration, that 18-place drop is not fantastic. However, overall, journalism in general has been seriously impeded in 73 countries, constrained in 59. And the rationale here is that we're not alone, I think, in using the pandemic or in looking at COVID-19 as an opportunity to introduce laws and measures that restrict press freedom fundamentally.
Yes, and I think the pandemic has, in many parts of the world, been a convenient way in which to push through things that in previous times would have probably faced a lot more difficulty internally, as well as pressure from global allies and so on. This is a worrying trend, really, a trend that watchdogs have been pointing out for a while. So let us know what your thoughts are. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Ding Joanne, advisor for the Centre for Independent Journalism. Joanne, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
What are your first impressions of this, of these overall global rankings? Do they signal a shift towards less press freedom?
Well, I think the usual suspects are in the top 10 and the bottom 10. I mean, we always see a range of countries, of different, you know, levels of press freedom in the different countries. But we definitely see authoritarian governments using the pandemic, as you say, as a cover to introduce repressive laws that give them a lot more power over the public narrative. And of course, the most disappointing but not unexpected was our own massive drop in rankings from 101 to 119th out of 180 countries.
So we spoke about why this might be the case, but could you help us understand why there was such a significant drop in the rankings for us?
Well, we've never been ranked very high to begin with. So if you look prior to 2018, actually we are ranked 140-something, and that's a combination of our legislative framework, which gives the government a lot of powers through various acts, PPPA, Sedition Act, CMA, all those things, over journalists and the public. You know, it's very easy to investigate, to call up journalists and investigate them or raid their offices or ask them to go to the Home Ministry and explain their, you know, articles. And also ownership. So prior to 2018, the ruling party owned a lot of the media or controlled the state media. And the state media operated often as a government mouthpiece rather than as a public service broadcaster. So we see the big shift in 2019 and 2020 after the change in government. The Pakatan Harapan government had a lot of promises to dismantle some of these structures. So the laws that make it very easy for the government to control the media and the public narrative. And they wanted to introduce a Freedom of Information Act, for example, and set up a media council, repeal the PPPA. So once that government fell, and this new old government has come into place. So we are seeing now a return, perhaps, to how things used to be. And so it's not surprising then that our ratings as well are going backwards to where they were before, because the new government has not demonstrated that they are committed to these same promises or are taking active steps towards dismantling these structures that keep the media under very close control to begin with.
So let's hone in on the last year, right? What would you say are some of the most impactful events that relate to press freedom here in Malaysia?
Well, of course, the change in government was a big change. So there, all the reforms that were being discussed, those have either been put on hold or drastically slowed down. There is no priority at the moment, from what I can see, to reform the law. So the environment also has changed. So from a more open environment, I think, which people were talking about, where there was less of a fear of arrest or investigation or the calls to mengadap, you know, at the Home Ministry, that was much less. It seems like that is coming back. So I think that would, you know, impact your day to day. And of course, the pandemic, which we can discuss in more detail. And then there were the kind of intimidating, you know, things done by the government. So when Al Jazeera published that that program about the arrest and of undocumented migrants, you know, after this, the EMCO, it was kind of a witch hunt after that. You know, they were investigated, they were criticized, you know, by government ministers, and their sources were revealed. So these are things that I think would produce a chilling effect on journalists and a signal that things are different now under this government.
So let's be specific. How has the pandemic affected media freedom in Malaysia?
Well, negatively, unfortunately, in several ways. Actually, one big impact, I mean, not for media freedom per se, but media survivability is revenue. So we've seen, you know, the Edge Financial Daily and the Oriental Daily seizing their print edition, you know, because people just have less money in their pockets to spend on ads, you know, and on buying or subscribing to news. So that's a huge thing, you know. Are our media going to come out intact financially? And then there's the impact on media freedom. So there's been less, you know, access to politicians and press conferences. A lot of media were barred from parliament. Until today's media, most media are barred from daily briefings by the government. Only government media are allowed. And then there's the health risk to journalists themselves. You know, some PCs have good social distancing and some don't. And introduction of laws such as the fake news ordinance, all this will have impact on media freedom. And yet, more than ever before, actually, we need credible media to give us information about this pandemic. There's still so much more we need to learn about how it spreads, about the vaccine, you know, about holding the government to account, about what measures they are taking or not taking to keep us all safe and ensure our healthcare system doesn't collapse. So it is really, really crucial, actually, in the midst of this pandemic, that we address these threats that have also arisen because of the pandemic.
Now, these changes that we've seen because of the pandemic, are we likely to see them have a lasting effect?
Well, I think that will depend on our politics as well, unfortunately. In terms of revenue, I think that will have a serious effect, and many media are struggling to stay afloat financially. So I think the public will need a paradigm shift that you have to pay for good journalism. Good journalism is a public good, so we might need to start talking about publicly funded journalism so that, you know, we ensure that when the chips are down in times of crisis such as these, we have credible media that we can turn to. Yeah.
So can the laws that we've seen imposed under the emergency order, the fake news law specifically, be kept for good once the emergency is ended?
I certainly hope not. To keep it, they will need to pass it in Parliament with a majority, or it will cease to have effect after 6 months. So we need to start now, and we need to keep the pressure up now to say that this fake news ordinance gives incredible power to the government to decide what is true and what is not. And it gives them incredible power to determine the public narrative. And that is not a good recipe under any circumstances. What more in the middle of a pandemic where we need to keep the government accountable? So I certainly hope that we will do what is necessary to ensure that once the emergency is over, that this does not become a permanent law in Malaysia.
Now, Joanne, I wanted to pivot slightly into another aspect of that report, right? It talked about a sense of trust about the media and journalists. And almost 60% of respondents from 28 different countries said that they felt that journalists deliberately misled the public. Are we seeing a trust deficit here as well?
Probably. I don't have concrete numbers, but I think we would probably follow this global trend for several reasons. Number one, the government has attacked journalists here, sometimes without context. I've talked about the Al Jazeera program just now on the mass arrest and detention of undocumented migrant workers. So when government attacks journalists and question their credibility, or in some cases question reporters for having bad intentions, that may put, you know, a bad perspective on the media. And sometimes the media themselves are responsible. So in our fast-paced world where we are competing with social media, competing with international media, it's difficult to monetize, especially online content. And oftentimes the media will resort to sensational headlines or clickbait to draw viewers. So people may also feel, hey, you know, this does not accurately reflect what was said in the article. But I think also there is also the proliferation of social media where, you know, most young people now, I understand, get their news. And it's a jungle out there, right? There's promotion of conspiracy theories, and social media algorithms often push these conspiracy theories to people. And so this builds, I think, a general mistrust in media. And we have entered into some kind of wonderland, you know, where credible stories are sometimes mistrusted. And fake, you know, stories that is completely misinformation are believed. So this is the kind of era, you know, and environment that we now live in, and that journalists and the news media will have to contend with.
So considering all these things, as well as the pandemic, as well as the emergency ordinance, the fake news law, you know, there's so many factors here. What do you hope to see in the media space as we recover from the pandemic, hopefully?
Yes, I hope we recover soon. That might take a while. Well, I look forward to Parliament reopening as soon as possible, and all journalists back in Parliament covering proceedings, you know, hanging out at the entrance to the Dewan Rakyat, doing doorstop interviews with MPs like we used to, and journalists back covering all PCs and asking our politicians questions, you know, not the current kind of staged press conferences that are going on. I would like the fake news ordinance to be annulled immediately. And I would like to see a Right to Information Act, because that enforces the principle that all publicly held data belongs to the public. So as a general rule, we should have access to that data unless they fall into certain narrow exceptions. And I also hope to have general elections safely once we recover, and balanced and widespread coverage of that, you know, from our media. And I hope they will get to hear from our politicians and ask them to answer and explain, you know, for all that we have seen in the past year. Yes, these are the few things that I hope for.
Joanne, thanks so much for speaking with us.
A pleasure.
You just heard Ding Joanne, advisor at the Centre for Independent Journalism, speaking to us about Malaysia's 18-place drop on the World Press Freedom Index. Do share your thoughts with us. You can call us 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 7:30 news on Popcorn Culture, we'll be throwing back to an American tale, the beloved 1986 animated feature starring Fievel.
So keep it Fievel.
Starring, yes. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.